In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jessica, for your words. And Megan, I know you contributed to them as well. Very, very beautiful. And I think we overlap in a few places, which is all the more fitting. I'd like to start with a question for Evelyn. Evelyn, your grandma Phyllis's great-granddaughter, is that correct? So I have a couple questions, two simple questions for you. What is the easiest way to tell if a tree is an apple tree? If it has apples on it, right? What's the simplest way to tell if a plant is a tomato plant?
If it has tomatoes on it.
If it has tomatoes on it. Thank you. We'll get back to Evelyn's questions in a little bit. Just keep those in mind. First, I want to show everyone something that Phyllis made for Michelle and me many years ago. Jessica mentioned cross stitches. I don't know if you're getting a glare or not. I'll try to tip it down a little bit. Cross stitch that Phyllis made for Michelle and for me, for our family, really. It has the prayer on it, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere and fillest all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us, cleanse us from every impurity, and save our souls, O Good One. Beautifully done. Powerful meaning. The prayer, O Heavenly King, is one of the more prominent prayers in the Orthodox tradition. Nearly every service begins with this prayer. Personal prayer rules begin with this prayer, O Heavenly King. The only time it's set aside is during Pascha as we anticipate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And it's fitting that a prayer gift from Phyllis to our family is the prayer, O Heavenly King, because this prayer is specifically a prayer to the Holy Spirit. God's own breath, the wind and power of God, the Holy Spirit of God is the Heavenly King. A prayer that declares the Holy Spirit to be our Heavenly King, equal with God the Father and the Son. A prayer that declares the Holy Spirit to be our Comforter. A prayer that declares the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of Truth. The treasury of blessings. Right? Isn't that just a beautiful image? I could stop there. A treasury of blessings. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. And of course, not just life in this world, but eternal life. And we declare the Spirit of God to be the good one, because only God is truly good. Now in this prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit for four things, four requests. First one is come. Come. Come to us. Come to our lives. Come to our hearts. The second request is abide. Abide means to stay there. Come and stay. Dwell there. Live there. An abode is where you live, a dwelling place. Make a home in us and stay. The next request is to cleanse. Not only to make us clean, but to continually make us new. And finally, the last request is to save our souls. And not only save our souls from death, but save our souls for eternal life. But the heart of this prayer, in the middle, between the beautiful things we call the Holy Spirit and these requests, that middle request there, the very center of this prayer, is this call and this request that the Holy Spirit abide in us, that the Holy Spirit live in us, that the Holy Spirit make a home in us and grow in us. St. Seraphim of Sarov made it his life's teaching to anyone who would listen that the goal of the Christian life was to acquire the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit living and abiding in you. Because to have the Holy Spirit abiding in you is to have God dwelling in you. To acquire the Holy Spirit is to acquire God. This is the prayer. This is the desire that Phyllis immortalized in this cross stitch that she gave us. And now I happen to know that this is not the only one of these that she made. I've seen dozens of these dozens of these. When I go to people's houses to visit or to bless a home, wouldn't you know, half of the houses I visit have one of these somewhere on a mantle or in a corner. This prayer is a prayer that reflected her heart. The prayer that the Holy Spirit come and abide in us must have been not only St. Seraphim's teaching, but it must have been part of Phyllis's teaching as well. It was certainly a teaching she put into a cross stitch. More importantly, it was a teaching that she put into practice. It was the way she lived. So my next question is, if the request for the Holy Spirit to abide in us is the goal of the Christian life, how do you know if a person has acquired the Holy Spirit? How do you know if the Holy Spirit is abiding in somebody? The Apostle Paul lists 9 fruits of the Spirit, 9 virtues he calls fruit, that a person filled with the Holy Spirit will show and will live and will produce. And this is going to bring us back to Evelyn's questions. You can tell a tomato plant, right, because it produces tomatoes. You can tell an apple tree by the apples. And yes, an apple tree can have a lot of other characteristics, but in the end, an apple tree's most important characteristic is to produce apples. I mean, in the end, that's what its job is. An apple tree that doesn't produce apples, I don't know what that is. But its most important job is to produce apples. And therefore, if acquiring the Holy Spirit is the goal of the Christian life, then the most important trait of a person who acquires the Holy Spirit is to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Would you not agree? Now, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit given by the Apostle Paul are, and please listen carefully, love, joy, peace. It worked. Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does this sound like anyone you know? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is it possible that someone has come among us that has acquired the Holy Spirit enough, that the Holy Spirit lived and dwelt in her enough that she produced all 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit? Just as surely as an apple tree produces apples. Is it possible that God has sent someone among us like that? Now, I obviously speak of our beloved Phyllis. And as Jesse mentioned, Phyllis was many things: daughter, sister, wife, mother, a grandmother, godmother, an aunt, a neighbor, a friend. But before any of these things, God created Phyllis to be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, that's what God created her to be. And Phyllis is not only a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, she's a veritable orchard of the Holy Spirit where God himself lives and in whom the fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced. Now, clearly, the fruits of the Spirit were produced in Phyllis and produced in volumes that are almost endless. And I'm going to jump in these 9 and swim around for just a few minutes, if you'll bear with me. Goodness. Goodness. As many as of you know, my birthday is on Halloween. Now, the advantage of having a birthday associated with the greatest candy day of the year is probably obvious, right? Especially when you're young. But sometimes, especially in adult life, the celebration could get buried in the mix with getting the costumes on and the trick-or-treating and making sure you have your pumpkins carved and whatnot. But I will never forget my first birthday after we moved to Clayton, where we went out with a kid's costume, trick-or-treating, stopped up at Matt and Phyllis and Bob's, and not only the amazing treat bags for all the kids, but wouldn't you know, she presents a homemade pumpkin pie with homemade crust for the birthday boy. Now that was goodness on a lot of levels. A lot of levels. But best of all, that birthday pie was an annual tradition even long after the kids stopped trick-or-treating. When they got too old to trick-or-treat, the pie came to our house. Now that's goodness. Kids parish-wide recalled getting birthday cards with dimes taped inside, arranged in the number for the age they had reached. If it was their seventh birthday, it would be taped in a number seven. Courtney Moskal said that on Facebook that she did that for them. It must have been lots and lots of kids got those dimes taped in their birthday cards. The way she made another person feel special is the definition of goodness. I can't think of another definition of goodness better than to make someone else feel special, to make someone else feel wonderful. A story of kindness. When we were a young family, we had only one vehicle. Many times I'd be gone at a diocese function or appointments or whatnot. And when the kids were in junior K, that ended midday, and so there was no bus service. And Phyllis would gladly give Michelle a ride up to school to pick up the kids when junior K let out. For her, I'm sure it didn't even feel like a burden. I'm sure she loved it. I can't count how many kids' events Phyllis attended. And not only your own family. I mean, Jesse mentioned the family's kids. She went to the kids' events for the other kids in this church, for our kids. If there was an event that she knew about and she had the time to go, she was there. She was there. If you want to hear about gentleness, for those not familiar, we have a custom in the Orthodox Church that from Good Friday till Pascha, till our Easter service, that we try to keep the church open, and people take turns reading before the liturgical tomb. This table here is brought out as the liturgical tomb to represent the burial tomb of Christ. And Phyllis would often take a turn, usually on a Saturday afternoon. And she'd be reading from the book of Acts, and I'd be tinkering around, getting stuff ready, and partly because I'm just addicted to tinkering around church during Holy Week. And sometimes I'd be in the altar and she'd come in and she might not have even known I was here yet, or, you know, because you can't see in there. And her voice would start up reading from the book of Acts, and I would just have to stop and sit down. The gentleness with which the words flowed of the apostles going to different towns and proclaiming the good news of the risen Christ, that his love is shining out not just for the Jews and not just for Jerusalem, but for the whole world, anyone who wants it. And to hear that in her gentle, tender voice as they went from city to city, it just brought chills. It just brought chills to my skin. Or when she'd read the doxology at Matins, she'd get to those words, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father who takes away the sin of the world. You can't say those words with more gentleness than Phyllis said them. I can still hear her cadence. I can still hear the sound of that voice. You just close your eyes, you can hear it. And speaking of going to Matins, you know, and this brings up faithfulness, Phyllis loves this church because of her faith in God. Phyllis loves this church, and I'm using that in the present tense on purpose. Phyllis loves this church because of her faith in Jesus Christ. Faithfulness came not only just from what she believed and what she felt, but it was put into action. She attended nearly every service this church ever had when she was able, until she was no longer able, only a couple of years ago. Unless she was traveling, every Vespers, every Matins, every Holy Day service, every weekday service, and she loved to be here. She didn't like to miss a single minute of the worship of her God in this house. There was a faithfulness there. And not just attending services, but as Jesse mentioned, a faithfulness in beautifying this house. I cannot imagine how many gallons of Brasso she probably went through in her lifetime polishing these candle stands. I mean, she was the brass cleaner. I remember that from my first year here. I'm sure that was long before that. Or how many alto notes she sang in the choir, sometimes with the full choir, sometimes with a small choir. Occasionally, it was just, you know, Deacon Nick and her and me were a trio at Vespers. Once in a while, it was just her and me, and I would try to sing the melody, and boom, she was in on the alto note, on that harmony note. With if you can match me, that's pretty good. But there was a faithfulness in the way she wanted it to sound as beautiful as possible, even if it was only three or two people. But here's the thing. You live long enough on this earth, it's not always beauty every day, anyway. There is a beauty every day, but not every day is beautiful, if you know what I mean. Not every moment is sunshine, that's what I mean. Not every moment is sunshine. I cannot imagine that every minute of farm life was easy. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I can't imagine that it was easy every single day. I can't imagine raising you five kids was easy all the time. As joyful as it was overall, my guess is that it may have come with a challenge or two. I tease, but that's life. You know, life has its uphill climbs. Life has its pains. Life has its endurance moments. And even more than pains and endurance moments, there's the face of sickness and death that we must eventually come to. Now, eventually, Phyllis had to bury her parents. Phyllis had to bury siblings. Phyllis had to bury a beloved husband, even a nephew and a niece. I know she held in her heart the pregnancy losses of her grandchildren. And I know because she told me. She told me. She didn't always want them to know how much she knew because she didn't want to make it worse. But she held each one of those close in heart. And she held each one in patience for the mysterious grace of God, saying things like, I don't know what God's going to do with it, but I pray that he blesses them. Because the grace of God is not always immediately obvious. Yeah, patience through adversity, pain, eventually her own sickness. In her was a light that shined forth on these uphill climbs. But even in the face of heartbreak and loss and death itself, it wasn't only patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Phyllis shone with those fruits of the Spirit through peace and joy as well. And to be able to shine with peace and joy in the midst of sorrow is a true fruit of the Spirit. Is a true fruit of the Spirit. If you're not dependent on what's happening out in the world, but are dependent on something inner that God has given you to find joy and peace, even when things are uphill, that is a true fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think this is perfectly symbolized in one of the artistic tasks Phyllis did best. Twice a year, the church has a special festival outside of Good Friday where we celebrate the Holy Cross. Where we celebrate. We have one in the middle of Lent, the third Sunday of Lent, and we have one in September, one in the spring and one in the fall. And I don't know how many years Phyllis did this, but it was her task to decorate the cross that we put out in the middle of the church with flowers, to put flowers on the base and to decorate the cross with flowers twice a year for decades. And she did it beautifully. But think of that imagery. Think of the imagery to take the instrument of our Lord's death, our Lord's torturous death, and decorate it with beautiful flowers. It's a total rebuke of Satan. Absolutely. It's a total rebuke of the power of pain and death itself. Those flowers on the cross are the way we say, in your face, pain, you do not win. It's the way we say that we can find joy and peace in the middle of anything. Because no matter what happens, God is with us. Christ is with us. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And as if to prove joy and peace were hers, and not just symbolically on the flowered crosses she made, but really, truly hers. That joy and peace were hers, even in the face of her own death. One of the last things a beloved Phyllis ever said, her final statement, as it were, knowing that all in this world was accomplished. And into the face of death on the eve of her passing, she said, "This is the day that the Lord has made." On the eve of her death, she said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Rejoice and be glad in it. In your face, death, my God is stronger than you. And finally, that greatest fruit of the Spirit, which, of course, is the first fruit, love. Love. I don't think there's enough paper in this world to write down the depth of love in this woman's heart. the love she has for her family, both as a group and each one of you individually. The love she has for friends and neighbors. The love she has for her priest that I am just grateful for to have been gifted to share in that from her. The love she has for God. We all have images of what her love looks like. Maybe your image of her love is her gathered around her kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids at holidays. Maybe your image of her love is her teaching someone how to make those Ukrainian eggs or how to make a pie crust. Maybe your image of her love is her planting flowers or watching the birds or those heart-shaped cookies that everyone looked forward to on Valentine's Day, which, by the way, she used to cut by hand, I think, until someone finally gave her the stamps. Whatever image her love looks like to you, to me, I have one preeminent image, at least for me. And it's not just one picture, because I saw it many times, but it comes down to one image. To me, the most preeminent image of her love is when she would hold a great-grandchild on their baptism day in their gown, for her to behold that fourth generation clothed in the robe of light. You know, and as she got older, it had to be on a chair. And there was Phyllis with that brand new great-grandchild in that robe of light. The look on her face as she looked down at that child was the purest form of love I think I've ever seen in my life. And when Veda is baptized, I can only imagine the glow that she'll have from where she is now. Because if the glow she had here on earth was what I saw, imagine a few weeks from now the glow she'll have when Veda reaches the font. St. Seraphim of Sarov taught that the goal of the Christian life, the goal of life itself, is to acquire the Holy Spirit. And fittingly, Phyllis's gift to many was the prayer asking the Holy Spirit to come, asking the treasury of blessings to abide and live in us. How can we tell when that happens? According to Evelyn, you can tell a tomato plant by the tomatoes. You can tell the apple tree by the apples. You must be able to tell a person who has acquired the Holy Spirit by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that sound like anyone you know? Amen.